welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are with the Chief Executive Officer of Variety, the Children's Charity of the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the program, Dominique Bernardo.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Dominique, it's great to have you here. I'd like to know a little bit about the organization because this is the first I've heard of it, meeting you. Just share how it came about and some of your interest to get to where you are today.
Sure. So Variety, the Children's Charity of the Delaware Valley, it's commonly known as Variety Club. It was our old name back in the day. So a lot of folks might remember an old telethon with Monty Hall.
Yes.
That was us. So that's us. So we are headquartered in Worcester, Montgomery County, although we serve children all throughout the Delaware Valley, and we do partner with some Philadelphia sites, including Temple University and the Widener School, to offer services there as well. But we were started in 1935, so we started as direct pass-through financial assistance for kids in need. And then in 1949, we had this beautiful 77-acre estate in Worcester donated to us by the Pozo family. Now, the Pozo family started the Ritz movie theater chain in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we were in the direct services business. So since 1949, we have providing services to children with disabilities. So we did start serving boys recovering from polio and overnight camp. That was our history. That was who was determined to be in need in 1949, 1950. But today we serve any child or young adult with any disability, intellectual, developmental, physical, and many present with multiple disabilities.
Wow. So becoming a chief executive officer, how does that happen, especially in like a charity organization? Like, what was the pathway to get to where you are? Because it's safe to say you're at the pinnacle. There's not much higher than being a CEO. Is that correct?
Right. Yes, I guess so.
Yeah, right.
Astronaut?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. To the moon and back. Yes.
So, I mean, I am very proud and I feel honored to lead this organization with such a rich history. I have a background in accounting, actually. I'm a CPA turned social worker.
Wow.
And so I devoted my career over 20 years ago to the nonprofit industry, because I saw that nonprofits needed good financial expertise, they needed good stewardship, and they were doing good work. And so I spent the last 17 years of my career before joining Variety in North Philadelphia at an organization called Congresso, and was ready to take on a leadership role when the opportunity at Variety opened in 2019. So it's been a wonderful place. It's a joyful place. I hope you can come see it one day, because there's a lot of magic that happens there.
Well, you have to be very well balanced. Like you said, you were an accountant by trade, so you're a numbers person, and now you're a social person. So you got both covered. Usually people are either strong in one or the other. It's very rare that they're good analytically and socially.
Yeah.
You know,
I like to say it's where mission meets margin. Like, that's really what I see my vocation being, right? Is one nonprofit at a time kind of thing.
Yes.
Is ensuring that, you know, a nonprofit is operating in a fiscally responsible way, but is really fulfilling its mission, right, with high quality services. So, yeah. So I love being able to think, you know, with both sides. And I think, most nonprofits, all nonprofits, right, need to have good fiscal management, regardless that they're not a for-profit business.
So you're with one nonprofit for 17 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
You come to another. Now you have your feet wet. You've been there for more than 3 or 4 or 5 years now.
Yep.
Are you seeing the vision that you had when you first took the job?
Yes, that's a great question. Yes. So I'm in my fifth year. And so my first year was 2019, which was a normal year, right? And then the pandemic hits, which was not normal for any of us.
Exactly.
And so, you know, for 3 years of my tenure, it was focused on resuming services and just bringing a sense of normalcy back to the client, the participants we serve, their families, and our staff. And I'm particularly proud that we reopened services in July of 2020. So think about it, three months after shutdown.
Yes.
We resumed on-site services. No school was doing that. No other nonprofit in the region was doing that. And we were able to bring back, at a reduced capacity, services back, summer school, day camp, after school programs, vocational training programs. And we have not paused since. And that was really important, because the individuals we serve, it's important to them to have a sense of routine and schedule. And we all had schedules disrupted during that time frame. But I would say that's probably what I'm most proud of in my tenure, is really being able to navigate through that and resume services as quickly as we did, keeping our families in mind.
And I'm assuming this, but being involved in a charity organization, volunteers are a big deal.
Yes.
So have you seen a growth in the volunteer segment since you've been with the organization?
Yes. So we have, we've always welcomed historically corporate volunteers from businesses. We have amazing opportunities on our campus to welcome corporate groups, small groups and large groups to help take care of this rather aged space. But we also have had more field placement interns from local universities come on, individuals, families. We've had some school groups. So especially obviously post-pandemic as the world has opened up as well. But yeah, there's space for most volunteers to help us in some way. Yes.
So volunteers are a part of it. Are there paid positions as well with Variety Club?
Yes. So we have a full-time staff, just under 20 employees, but our part-time staff number goes up to 100 some.
Oh, wow.
During this, particularly in the summer, which is our peak season. So we are always looking for caring, interested people who are interested in working in our programs, whether, you know, one-on-one with our kids, more in a group setting. We're always looking for job coaches, lifeguards. We hire nurses in the summer to be on site the entire time our programs are running. Special education teachers. I mean, we have the gamut. We have wonderful opportunities, temporary, seasonally, and long-term for individuals.
I'm curious about the lifeguard situation because I know there was a big push to get people trained because there wasn't enough out there.
Yes.
Did you run into the same scenario?
There's word of mouth, and I think it's because of our rich history. We have been very, very lucky. We have a 99,000 gallon outdoor pool.
Wow.
That has a ramp that you can enter with a wheelchair. And we have been able to, just through word of mouth and connections, procure enough lifeguards every year that we have not had to shut down. And that's the jewel of our campus, right? And the kids love to do that. It's an important part of their summer. For the summer school camp, it's a school with a pool. For the day camp kids, it's the most critical point.
Like,
so if they can't swim, there's problems that day.
Right.
But it's an important, fun part of who we are.
I'm curious. I know that you're from the Upper Merion Township and it's a hub, but you encompass the whole entire Delaware Valley. Is there one part of the Delaware Valley that seems to need more attention than others?
I wouldn't say that there's one part of the Delaware Valley that needs more attention. Although, of course, in Philadelphia, right, there's so many challenges with transportation, right, and reaching some of the families we'd like to serve to get them to Montgomery County, which is why we do offer satellite programs at Philadelphia partner sites. We do draw kids from all over the Delaware Valley and their families. Probably the biggest percentage is from Montgomery County for sure, just for geographic proximity.
Location.
But, I will say probably everybody, listening to this and you know somebody with a disability. And
yes.
So it's common for folks to be exposed to someone with a disability. And, the needs are great as far as different services and giving them an opportunity.
And that's a good point you make because I've interviewed a number of people that deal with charities and stuff.
Yeah.
Most people have a loved one that has a disability, and that's what sort of pushed them in this direction. Is that something that you felt as well?
Yes. My oldest brother has cerebral palsy, so the mission of Variety felt close to me or resonated with me when I decided to join the organization. Although I have learned a tremendous amount of information after 5 years in the organization and really having to navigate services and the partners that we work with. And I'm still learning. I don't profess to be the expert. I have a fabulous programming team. I have a fabulous staff, a great board that really help support what I do in my job.
It's a great mindset to have. We're always, always learning, that's for sure. Now I'd like to ask a little bit about what are some of the services and activities that take place through Variety?
Yes, that's great. My favorite part to talk about, right?
Oh, good.
The kids and young adults we serve. So Variety focuses primarily on kids ages 5 through 24, although we will serve adults older than 24 as appropriate and as services allow. And for the little guys from 5 to 14, we focus primarily on educational and recreational programming. So it's after school programs, Saturday full day camps, which also provide great respite for the parents to
yes.
have some time to themselves. Weekend camping retreats in the summer, which is our peak season. So in the summer, we have at least 100 kids running around campus in various programs. We run summer school, which is called ESY, Extended School Year. We run a day camp, we run overnight camp, and we run a really cool high school vocational training program where we have high school students grouped into crews. And so for an example, the first crew will be in the industrial kitchen and they're the baking crew. And they will take the compost from the things they're doing and take it into our 2-acre garden garden and greenhouse, and the agricultural crew will end up seeding, weeding, harvesting, taking the compost to do it, and then taking the zucchini, for example, they grow, back to the baking crew. The baking crew will make zucchini bread. They'll package it up and take it to the pop-up marketing crew, who will run a farm stand and a pop-up shop in the community in the summer.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Every week, the high school students rotate to a different crew. So they're getting hands-on, real-life experiences that will be skills they could put on a resume in the future. So starting at 14, you can participate in that vocational program. So like I said, for the little guys, it's really about having a safe space, a place to socialize, meet other people in a very inclusive environment. Like nobody's staring, they don't need to feel different. It's just about having fun, building relationships, building self-confidence.
Yes.
And then at 14, we start focusing on vocational skills training. And why we do that is because a child with a disability has to age out of entitlement services at 21. That means they have to graduate high school.
Right.
And so for many years, parents were saying to us, my child graduated, they're home on the couch, they're not doing anything, right? And so we had been focusing more heavily on educational and recreational programs for decades. And so we created this summer vocational training program. And then in 2018, we launched a workforce development model called Variety Works, based on the feedback from parents, right? Based on the statistics out there that say the employment ratio of people with disabilities is drastically different than those without a disability. Yeah. And we started this model and we focus on age 14 above and that critical transition age of 21, so that a young adult graduating hopefully has some experience and begins to think about, begins to have an idea of what they'd like to do as a career.
Gotcha.
So what that looks like, so for young adults that graduate at 21 and are not ready to integrate into the community, they can participate in a program we have called Farm to Table, which is half on our campus doing things in our kitchen, in our greenhouse, practicing skills, and then 50% of the time out in the community at a community partners. Job shadowing, volunteering, interacting with people, and really getting more accustomed to being out there. The goal of transitioning them to employment. We also run two mobile cafes in the community, which are like coffee carts. So if you think about it, you walk into an office building, you walk into a hospital, there's like a little cafe there. So we operate two of them in the community. We recently opened one at a senior living community in Montgomery County at Meadowood. And our young adults earn an hourly wage. They're in a 3-to-1 ratio. So they're reporting for a shift, they're working, but they're supervised by a full-time Variety staff. And it's called supported group employment. And the idea is that they're getting feedback in real time. This is how you count the change. This is how you take inventory. This is how you greet a customer. And those individuals eventually move on to independent employment. But you know, so they're in that program because they're not yet ready. And then once individuals approach us that have gone through those programs or just are ready for a job, we assign them a one-on-one job coach and we work with them to help them find a job. And what makes Variety different is that stereotypically, organizations who work with this population might steer everybody into custodial services or something that's kind of stereotypical. We really work individually with each young adult to say, what do you think you want to do? Because hopefully you chose your career because you love it, right? I love what I do as well. But our guys don't often get to
choose.
Right. They often, as teenagers, don't get to babysit. They're not working at Wendy's. They're not working at the local movie theater. They're in therapies. They're in extended school programs. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, often people don't think they could even, somebody with a disability might not be able to take on a job.
Right.
So we work to undo some of that and really build up some confidence and a sense of interest in what they're doing. So if a young adult with that it's over 21 says, I want to work with animals, we're going to go find community business partners, a local vet, a farm, and maybe a pet store. And we're going to go out and job shadow and meet the business owners and say, could we come volunteer? Or could you come tell us what you do? And if that young adult still says, I really love this, then we're going to help them put together the resume if they don't have one. We're going to help them interview and we're going to help them find a job. And once they find a job, our job coach stays with them one-on-one until we could fade out.
That's nice.
So we have it's a pipeline of services. The idea is that a student, young adult, or young child could stay with us from age 5 through 21. Some come at 21, some come at 22. We'll take participants whenever.
Oh, that's nice. Well, one thing that you mentioned and I'm more curious about is the parents.
Yeah.
Do they get heavily involved or do they say, all right, let Variety handle this? Like, how does that work? Because, you know, especially if you're leaving a 4 or 5 year old child, they might want to be helicoptering around, you know, which is normal, not knocking it. And how is that handled?
So, I mean, there are parents that volunteer for different events we have or committees. We have parents on our board. We have parents on committees that we have. But we are very, you know, selective about staff that we hire. We have very intensive trainings. We be sure, you know, we're sure to always think about health and safety. So we find, you know, there are parents that are definitely more engaged and calling more frequently than others. But, you know, I think that parents of children with special needs are really tired warriors since the day that they were given a diagnosis of their child. They've had to advocate for their child all their lives. And I always think about that when I'm presented with a parent who, you know, maybe complaining about something, maybe loving something, or maybe not sure about something. And I think this is not about me, right? This is a journey they've been on. And so we really work to make it as easy as possible for them with limits, right? I mean, we need to be sure that, you know, we're delivering services in the way that we think is appropriate.
Yeah, that's what prompted me to ask that question, because I'm thinking,
it's a great question.
You're right there. You're on the front line. Yeah. It's a balancing act. It's not easy, because you're not, no matter what you're doing, even it's a great service, you're not always going to make everybody 100% happy. You know what I mean?
And that's why for us, we've chosen to do all our services to deliver all of them in a 3-to-1 ratio. So 3 youth to 1 staff, and sometimes 1-to-1 when our resources permit, so that we can be sure that we're attentive to the needs of the child. And not every organization, you know, goes by that ratio, but for us, we've chosen that as our standard across all of our services to ensure that parents do have a sense of ease when they're dropping their child off, right? And they feel like, okay, this is a place, it's okay, and I can go do my thing.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, I see the stability because it's been around for so long. And like you said, the backing, it has what a parent should feel comfortable saying, hey, this is a good spot for my child.
Yeah, hopefully.
And you just take the ball and run with it. That's probably the best way to put it, you know. But I think the services, especially in the summertime, you say they're very popular. I could understand why, especially if you have like a warm weather. They're all on top of that, right?
Yes. Summer is our peak season, and historically people think we've only ever been a camp, right?
Right.
Because we started as a camp.
Well, that's what I thought of too.
Yes.
So I'll be honest.
Yes. And, you know, you can't run an organization on an 8-week summer camp. So we have really evolved thoughtfully to provide a portfolio of services year-round that's utilizing our land, our space, our expertise in a way that, as an organization, allows us to be fully sustainable. And that, you know, as a service provider, we're trying to meet the needs of our participants year-round. So it's not like, well, we'll see you in the summer and, you know, goodbye until next June kind of thing. We really hope to develop long-term relationships with individuals. You know, we just hired somebody this past year who had been with us since he was little. He graduated, and he always loved supporting our facilities team. So we hired him on our facilities team. He does repairs and maintenance, and he loves to mow, et cetera. That was his thing he always loved. This past year, we hired 2 young adults who were in our vocational training program to be counselors in the program this year.
Oh,
so they're
now
role models for the high school students that are in there.
Can't ask for a better advocate.
So it's just great success stories that make me smile and validate what we're doing.
The main question is, how will people get involved? What do we have to look forward to, especially in the future? Try to share a little bit of insight there, because you're at the top. You're seeing what's coming up.
Sure.
Let people know what they have to look forward
to.
Sure,
yeah. So a few, you know, big goals or plans we have in the future. Programmatically, we're looking to expand our vocational training programs, particularly in the food service industry. We're looking to register pre-apprenticeship programs, and we're looking to procure more adaptive, accessible equipment for our kitchens so that we have more tools at the ready for whatever needs that our participants bring. We plan to expand to more mobile cafes in the future, which is exciting. It's such a self-sustainable program, which is great. On our campus, we have a master facilities plan that we have undertaken. So we're looking to renovate our aged 77-acre campus, and there's all kinds of ways for folks to support us in that. And then as far as how people can get involved, you know, I would say we are always looking for community business partners to support our vocational training program. We have over 50 community business partners, local businesses in the area that support us. And how do they do that? They take on our interns, which we provide payment for that. They take on just one day job shadowing opportunities. They allow some of our young adults to come and volunteer for them, whether it's, you know, our young adults in the farm to table program might go to a food pantry or a thrift shop or an office space and help let them collate papers or let that group actually do some of the work. Sometimes they go to the zoos, either the Philadelphia Zoo or the Elmwood Zoo, and help, you know, help there as well. So we're looking for business partners to ultimately hire our young adults. That's really what we're looking for in the end, but we find ways to build that relationship slowly so that there's an understanding of what inclusion means, and our staff can help the employer learn what it means to accommodate for an employee with disabilities. So that's an area we would like to continue to grow, we would like to see grow. And so if you're an employer, a local employer in the community, and you'd like to find out more information, we would love to have you come visit. We can send a staff out to talk to you about what that means. And we've got some really talented, amazing job seekers, right, who may just be the right fit for somebody's organization.
So you're getting to see both sides, and this is where this question is coming from. I'm curious. Some of the kids that they get caught up in fads, like they all want to be a baker, or they all want to be. Is there some businesses that you find that are like a perfect match, because you see it from both sides? So, like, say all the kids wanted to, they all want to work at Starbucks one day. Yeah. You know, they like the coffee cart.
Yeah,
would Starbucks be a good marriage for a child like this?
Yeah. I think there's in a variety of settings, right? We've placed our young adults into bakeries and office settings and, you know, Lowe's home improvement stores and places that have just very different settings. And again, it really depends on the individual, right? There was one young adult that said, I want to work in an assembly line, right? And somebody else that said, I want to be in a daycare. And we found her a job in a daycare. It really is just varied. And of course, it has to be a fit. And we've, you know, they have to feel ready and confident, and the employer has to hire them. But it really is, we have, tons of stories that if we had more time, I could share around really, really great partnerships.
Yeah, because a lot of the children, especially as they get to be 14, 15, they've developed strong friendships.
Yes.
So how about if they all want to do the same thing? That's what I'm thinking, like, what happens there? You know what I mean?
Then we'll find more partners.
Oh, okay.
We'll find more partners, right? That would be a great problem to have.
Right.
We love when a young adult says, I want to do this, because they have a sense of what they want, and a lot of people don't, right? So great problem to have. We'll find more partners.
But when they don't, then whose job is it to steer them in the direction that they might think this is a good fit?
Right.
Is it a volunteer, or is it someone that works under your...
Yeah, I think the variety programming team will work to do. We have assessments we can do with that individual. We will go out to various job settings so they can experience an office setting, a manufacturing setting, food service setting. And both through observation and the participant feedback, you begin to get a picture of where is this participant most comfortable?
Right.
Where do they have skills that could evolve? Where is it something that this is just not a fit, right? If they're sensitive to some sort of noise, right, then they're not going to go into an environment that has, you know, a lot of, you know, noise pollution kind of thing. So it's an individualized service. And that's what makes Variety special is, we serve, over 600 unique individuals in direct intensive services annually. Mm-hmm. We serve thousands across the Delaware Valley through outreach and at play events and our direct services. But we're never going to grow and expand to be thousands and thousands and thousands of kids in our direct services, because it's so individualized what we do, because of the small ratios we have, and because the needs of this population, which is amazingly resilient but also medically fragile often, mm-hmm. and can be challenging as far as in the sense of they're needing specific accommodations that not every employer is ready to meet. Okay. So we want to be thoughtful about who we partner with, and we want to be intentional about the services we offer to the individual so that they can succeed, build self-confidence, and ultimately have more independence. That's our mission.
Yes, you almost answered my next question. I said this must be very rewarding for the volunteer or the team that puts this program together for an individual, when they see the confidence and how much this child has grown through the system, like of going through the whole training program. And I'm sure they see a drastic personality change as well.
Yeah, I think that, sometimes it's just tapping into what's there, and other times there's really evident, clear growth. And I think it's a vocation for the programming staff to work in this field as well. And they've got tremendous patience and tremendous skills. And we smile a lot at the things we see. We laugh sometimes, and we're cheering on our participants because we're all rooting for them, and we want them, to be successful. We want them to gain more independence, to be out there in the community, in a way that feels good for them.
Well, so now that you've been and we talked about this 5 years in, do you have a 5-year goal that what you want to see in the next 5 years?
Yeah. So,
are you planning to be here for another 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I find a lot of joy in this organization. We have a fabulous board. We have fabulous corporate partners. Have a really strong team, and I really developed some solid relationships with a lot of the families we serve. So, I want to see the master facilities plan through. I hope we can get some new spaces built up. But like I said, we have an aged campus, and our kids deserve the best, just as I would want my kids to be in a state of the art space for training. So our kids should be there as well. So of course, the master facilities plan is a big goal, and then continuing to expand our vocational training services and having more opportunities. Have our young adults get placed in a variety of industries. And so we're looking at more certifications, right? So if they're interested in the food service, we'll get them ServSafe certified. If they're interested in IT, get them digital badges. So we're looking to do more formal certifications as well. So they've got a competitive resume. It's not just about having a resume, it's about having a competitive resume.
I'd be remiss not to ask about your board. Is it someone that you inherited, or did you put the board were you involved in assembling the board?
So I inherited a board who hired me.
Right.
Some of them are still around. Others rolled off, as their term ended. And so I was able to help, as the board decisions who gets, the board of directors as a nominating committee and a governance committee that decides who gets on it. But of course, I'm able to have, some sort of input on that as well. And we have a fabulous group of volunteers. There's 17 board member seats in a variety of industries where we seeking for diversity in that board, and they're all volunteers, and they have, we have butcher, baker, candlestick maker on the board, and that's really what we need to have a mindful group of volunteers who are really overall responsible for the governance of the organization.
Nice. So Dominique, as we wrap up the program, anyone watching this program, how would they get involved? What's some of the contact information?
Sure. The quickest, easiest thing is to find our website, www.varietyphila, so VarietyPhila, as in Philadelphia, varietyphila.org, O-R-G. And there's a space on there to contact us, to get on our mailing list, to find out about our programs. We have events that go on throughout the year. We have some really great events on our campus in Philadelphia. So I'd encourage folks to get on our mailing list to get ahead of what we're doing. They could also contact us by phone if they're interested in services or something specific. But we have room for, mostly everybody to get involved in some way. It takes a village to do what we do. We are grassroots, yet we are very sophisticated in some ways. And we live in the middle. And so I hope that we'll be able to get some more support through this show.
Dominique, I wish you much future success.
Thank
it was
you.
Really nice meeting you as well. Our guest today has been Dominique Bernardo. She's the CEO of Variety, the children's charity of the Delaware Valley. For all of us here at UMGA Television, I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.